John 19, verses 28 to 30. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Let us pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to quieten our hearts and speak to us by your word and through your spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. These are Jesus' last words, and we are therefore to treat them as very important. The surface reading of these few words is quite simple and straightforward. Jesus knows that the end is near, that everything is finished, expresses thirst. He is dehydrated. Those present, the women and John, give him vinegar to help with the dehydration and to deaden the pain. Whereupon he says, "It is finished," and breathes his last breath. In early Christian centuries, the Gospel of John was regarded as the spiritual gospel, in recognition that while it is deeply factual, at the same time it is full of profound insight and calls for deep reflection. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, John has the uncanny skill of writing that which is factually true and at the same time spiritually profound. So there are some things here lying just beneath the surface. Of course, I have to be very careful that I don't invent things. There's a degree of discipline in finding those things. I'm sure you noticed that the little passage begins with the word "finished." That's not what your translation says. It says "completed," but in the original it's the same word, "finished." Knowing all things were now finished, dot, 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 Jesus said, "It is finished." So what's going on in this little passage? To all outward appearances, Jesus is at the mercy of others. Judas, the traitor, the strength of a group of soldiers, the high priests and their corrupt trial, the weakness and vacillation of Pontius Pilate, and four strong men in an execution squad with hammer and nails. What could be more pathetically vulnerable and feeble and absolutely at the mercy of others than this man? But notice that in this little passage, he, Jesus, is the subject of the verbs. He knew that his end was near. He asked for something to drink. He finished the vinegar. He said, "It is finished." He gave up his spirit. They did not take it from him. He gave it up. He yielded his life when he was ready to do so. In other words, even on the cross, Jesus is all-knowing and all-powerful. Despite the irony of it all, he is the King of the Jews. We are very accustomed in our cultures to the importance of victory and success. In the modern Olympic Games, we have a gold medal and a silver and a bronze. But in the ancient world, there was only one medal for the winner. Then and now, people understand the importance of winning, of being successful and importance. We associate kingdoms with victory and success, and we sometimes think of the kingdom of God in terms of victory and success. But here, in the crucifixion of Jesus, we see in clearest focus the kingdom of God, even in seeming defeat. In the book of Revelation, Christian believers are called a kingdom and priests. What an incredible thing to say. Little groups of believers in seven churches, not in a vast auditorium like this with 1,000 people, but a few dozen people hiding in a house, hiding from the might of Rome, hiding from Roman armies, Roman navies, mindful that there are huge and impressive temples and statues all around them, and they are being called a kingdom. What is going on? What a complete reversal of what appears to be real. The Apostle Paul scandalized people at that time when he said that Christ crucified was the wisdom and the power of God. Jesus is in charge, even on the cross. He is ruling as king from the cross, and he is judging as judge from the cross. A second thought. Jesus' words, "I thirst," remind us of an incident earlier in the Gospel in Samaria when Jesus said to a woman, "I am thirsty." In that passage in John chapter 4, we are told that Jesus must pass through Samaria. It was a ridiculous way to go. It was a long way round to go to where he was going, but he must pass through Samaria. Why? To have that conversation with that woman, and as a consequence of speaking to that woman, see the salvation of the Samaritan people. His words in that passage in John chapter 4, "I thirst," again, are at the surface level factually true. Doubtless he was thirsty, but John means us to understand his thirst for the souls of lost people. We thirst for God and his Spirit. "If anyone thirsts," said Jesus, "let him come to me and drink." Whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst again. We thirst for God and His Spirit. But Christ thirsts for us and for our salvation. When He says on the cross, I thirst, He is thirsting for the salvation of men and women and boys and girls throughout the world. Come to me, He says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. A third reflection. Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "It is finished." Once again, it is helpful to go back into the Gospel, and once again, we are in Samaria. The woman said, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." She witnessed to him, and the Samaritans began streaming out to him at the well. Meanwhile, his disciples returned to see him not only thirsty but hungry and offer him something to eat. And he says, note these words, he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish." Finish. His work on the cross. Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "It is finished." In this, his last word, he declares that which he has come to do, he has done. It is finished. There is no more that can or need be done. The Lamb of God has now taken the sin of the world. He has now cleansed us from our sin by his blood. To we who are perishing but who believe in him, he has given eternal life. On the cross, he now begins to draw all people to himself. He is our great example. He is our great teacher. But above everything else, he is our great Saviour. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. Knowing that all things are now finished, he said, "It is finished." Of course, that means we cannot, we must not ourselves attempt to contribute anything to his finished work. We come as beggars to receive the gift that he freely gives, and we offer nothing except a glad and welcoming heart. A fourth and final reflection. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Again, there is a little more to this than is on the surface. The words in English, gave up his spirit, in the original are, he handed over his spirit. And the word spirit can be spelt with a small s, meaning his last breath, but of course it is the same word in the original for the Holy Spirit. Throughout this gospel, Jesus has been promising to give his spirit to his disciples. If any man thirst, any woman thirst, let him come to me and drink, says Jesus in John chapter 7. This is a picture of the prophecy in Ezekiel 47. When God said that there would be a great new temple which would have north, south, east, west sides to it. And from this temple, this great final temple, would come water. Water that would flow out of the north and the south and the east and the west, and which would spread to the barren world and bring life. When Jesus says, if anyone come to me and thirst, and goes on and says that out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, he is actually speaking about himself as that new temple, which would be the source of spiritual water of the Holy Spirit for the whole world. And throughout the gospel, he is promising the gift of the Spirit to comfort us, to teach us, to reproduce himself in us, and to transform us. And he gives that Spirit through his death. He gives that Spirit in the context of the forgiveness of our sins. So, Jesus is in charge, even in death. He is the subject of the verbs. Jesus thirsts for us to bring us his salvation. On the cross, he finished the work he came to do. And on the cross, he hands over his spirit to those who believe in him. Amen.